At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Before you can be a painter who can paint what's beyond mere memory, you have to inculcate that discipline, skill, and a lot of that is painful repetition and hard grinding work. It's the sacrifice of the present for the future. But once you manage that, then things open up. And virtually everything you learn of value is like that's very, very, very difficult to learn to write. And there's arbitrary rules that you have to follow and bind yourself to. And while you're learning those rules, the probability that you have any creative freedom to speak of or any facility with the rules is very low. You're a rank beginner. And even to some degree, whatever creativity you have is going to have to be stifled while you're passing through that keyhole. But if you pass through it, then something massive opens up on the other side. And it is definitely the case that disciplinary institutions, universities, are exactly that. Is they're places of guidance and they're places to encourage people to develop the discipline that's necessary to see beyond the discipline. I mean, that's why we have disciplines, right? I mean, the words aren't there by accident. You have to narrow yourself first. And then you can broaden outward. And so that's part of the process of maturation. That's part of the sacrifice of childhood. Say, in childhood, you're nothing but potential, but it's not realized and you don't know how to realize it. And so then the question is, well, how do you get to a point where you realize the potential? And the answer is you sacrifice almost all of it to a single direction. This is Nietzsche's commentary on the Catholic Church. He's a great admirer of the Catholic Church, despite the fact that he was also a radical critic of Christianity, said the thing about the Catholic Church is that it forced everything to be interpreted within a single explanatory framework. And that was a discipline. And once that discipline was established, then the disciplined mind could explode in every direction, which is precisely what happened. And so, and that's the thing about growing up, is that when you're a teenager and a young adult, you have to sacrifice everything you could have been as a child to be the one thing that you're aiming at. But then that opens up, and the universities are part and parcel of that process. And you need the guidance because the library is too large to wander through it unaided. You can't really have a schedule without having a plan, because the activities you schedule should be intelligently related to goals you wish to achieve that are important to you. And so you need to have goals that you wish to achieve that are important to you, and you have to know what they are. And that's complicated, right? That's like a plan for your life. So it's very difficult. You have to figure out what you want. And then you have to figure out how to decompose what you want into actionable steps, right? And those would be the sorts of things that you could put in a schedule. Now, that would mean that your schedule would hypothetically consist of things that you maybe you don't exactly want to do, although that would be good, but at least you understand the importance of doing and are therefore somewhat motivated to do. And then
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Need to break those steps down into small enough increments that you're highly likely to undertake them. You know, so for example, this is a trivial example, maybe you have to do a report on a given topic for school and you're not very good at that. Well, you know, maybe you could go to the library one day and just check out the library. That might be enough. And then maybe you could go to the library and take out a book. And then maybe you could open the book and look through it. Those would be on different days. And then maybe you could sit down and read the first page of the book. And if you can't do that, then the first paragraph. You know, you have to negotiate with yourself and figure out what the largest step you would take towards your goal is that you would take. And if you don't do it, then you make the step smaller and smaller until you find something that you would do. The next thing you need to do, potentially, is to familiarize yourself with a scheduler like Google Calendar. So the first thing to do is open it, and then maybe to figure out how to put in a task and then a repeating task. And might be a pretty simple one to begin with. It's like, well, why don't you list waking up and specify a time, or going to bed and specifying a time, an approximate time anyways, or put in the schedule when you eat. And those are things you do every day. And so that's something you're pretty likely to do. And so that's a success for you. And then, well, then you can start by putting in something small. Maybe you need to read, maybe you need to exercise, maybe you need to have a social event with people. Maybe you need to watch TV, a movie, whatever. It doesn't matter what it is. Hopefully it's something you want to do. Put it in the schedule. And you could start by scheduling the things that you would like to do. So you can imagine, well, I like going out to movies. I like going to the mall. I like hanging around with my friends. I like watching TV. I like reading a book. I like listening to music. Well, then schedule those things. And so then you think, well, that means I'm forcing myself to do them. It's not that. It's that now you're allowing yourself time to do them, right? So the schedule becomes a means of you getting what you want instead of an external jailer who punishes you every time you deviate from requirement. So you have to make friends with the schedule, and the schedule has to be your friend, your ally. I shouldn't use that word, but you know what I mean. It should work for you and not against you. It's not, you're not generating an external tyrant. You know, you are generating something that you could be held to, you know, and that's be responsible to. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. It can be somewhat burdensome, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. But generally, you should approach it as if this is something that will help you get what you want. It's also a pretty good way of controlling anxiety, you know, because one of the most common sources of anxiety is just not knowing what to do. And people often think about that as boredom. And it is boredom to some degree. It can be, but it can also be very anxiety provoking. It's like, well, what should I do? I don't know what to do. Well, I have to do something. There's all these things I could do, and I don't want to make that decision every hour. So a schedule that you design that you like can be an incredible relief. And one thing we do know is that conscientious people tend to be lower in negative emotion. And it looks like that's a causal consequence, is that orderly people, for example, because they order their environment and make it more predictable, then they're less likely to be anxious, because we're often made anxious by what is unpredictable. When you have a sense that something's up and you fail to act, you almost inevitably pay a much higher price for it at some point deferred into the future. So you have to think that through for yourself and ask yourself if you believe that's true. And if it is true, unless you want more trouble in the future, then perhaps you investigate when your moral unease, let's say, alerts you to the fact that there's something to investigate. Don't be too attached to things. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean deny the world. It might mean deny the world if you're too in love with the material, like with material well-being, let's say, then your pathway to transcendence and meaning might be to abandon that, because it's constraining you. It's making you less than you could be. But the fundamental lesson, the more fundamental lesson that's underneath that, is don't let what you are stop you from being what you could be. Right. And so then the question is, well, what do you identify with? Do you identify with what you are? Then you're a tyrant. Do you identify with chaos? Because that's the opposite of order, say. Then you're nihilistic. Well, you don't identify with either of those. You know that they're both necessary. You know that you have to live with both of them. But you identify with the capacity to continually transcend what you are. And then you seek out error. That's what humility is. It's like, I'm error-ridden. It's like, so I want to see. I want to put myself in a situation where I can discover one of my errors, hopefully not in a way that's going to knock me completely out of the game, right? I want to seek out a challenge. I want to find out where my limits are. I want to find out where there's not enough of me yet. And I want to do that in a way that's engaging because, you know, you can wear yourself out fighting dragons, obviously. You can exhaust yourself completely, and that's not helpful.
You need to lay out a vision of yourself as an ideal. Like, who do you want to be 5 years from now? What do you want your life to be like across the most important dimensions of your life? You need a vision of that. First of all, something to aim at. No? What would you like your family relationships to be like if they were ideal? What would your intimate relationship be like if it was better? What would your job be like or your career? How might you take care of yourself mentally and physically? How do you regulate your proclivity towards harmful temptation? How do you make intelligent use of the time that you have for yourself? How do you continually educate yourself? How do you illuminate yourself philosophically and spiritually? You need a vision for that, a plan, and then you have to decompose that into steps that'll lead you in that direction. That's how you incrementally move towards being a better person. And maybe as you do that, you have to revise your ideal version of yourself because of something you learned, but that's okay. That's part and parcel of the process because you're not going to specify the ideal with 100% accuracy the first time you specify it.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 7/9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.